The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Bahar. In the Parsha, we start with the dinim, the laws of Shemitah. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai saying, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'mata lehem, ki sovoa el oretz ashi ani neisin lochem v'shof soret Shabbos l'Hashem. That when you come to the land which I will give you, the land must rest a Shabbos. Sheish onim tizra sodecho, v'sheish onim tizmor karmecho. For 6 years, you can plant your fields. For 6 years, you can plant and prune your vineyards. Your saftest for also, and you can harvest and gather in your crops. Umashona hashviis, but on the 7th year, Shabbos Shabboson yelo oretz. There shall be a Shabbos, a complete rest for the land. Shabbos Lashem, a Shabbos to Hashem. Sotcha le sizro. Your field you shall not plant, and your vineyard you shall not plant and prune. And then the Torah goes into detail that during the 7th year you're not allowed to do any avedis hakarka, any tilling of the soil, anything that will improve the soil or the plants for that year, or harvesting the plants which grew from the year before. The Ha'isa Shabbos, now what are you supposed to do with everything on the field though? It's there. Some of it is growing from before, some of it grows by itself because of the seeds that fall. The Ha'isa Shabbos orders lochem lo'ochlo lechol o'obdecho v'lamosecho. The Torah did not tell us that we're not allowed at all to have any benefit from all of this. Rashi brings afal pisho asarti malecho, even though that I forbade you to work the field. But I didn't forbid you to eat from the crops or to have benefit from the crops. Now, the Shabbos shall be for you. La'ochla l'chol, you can eat it. U'l'abdicho, and your servant can eat from it. U'l'amosecho, your maidservant. U'l'eschircho, u'l'eseishovcho, agorim emoch, and your workers, and everyone who lives there. Blimtecho, u'l'chaya sheba'atzecho, t'yakolt fos alechol. And the animals, your animals can graze, and the wild animals can come and eat. So Rashi explains, what the Torah commanded is in the 7th year you cannot act like an owner of the field, even though it is your field. Everyone is equal. Everyone has an equal right to come and to take and eat from the field. You, your workers, the people that live there, even the Gentiles, because it becomes hefker. It becomes as if it's ownerless. So you're not allowed to work the field, but all of the crops become as if they're ownerless for that 7th year, and it belongs to everyone, and you're not allowed to exercise ownership over this land. You can take like anyone else. And then the Torah goes on further to tell us that this is every 7 years. And then after seven year periods, seven Shemitahs, then you have Yovel. At that time you have 2 years in a row of Shemitah. Yovel carries other dinim, other laws also, but it carries these same laws. And you'll have 2 years in a consecutively. You'll have the 49th year and the 50th year that it'll have to be left fallow. Then the Torah tells us a little further in Chofei Pasuk Yutes. When you come into Eretz Yisrael and you will keep my commands, the land will give forth its fruit and you will eat with great satisfaction and you will dwell in the land in safety and in peace. And perhaps you will say, but what should we eat on the seventh year? We haven't planted and we haven't gathered in our crops. Rashi explains that this is problematic, because many times even on the sixth year the harvest will go into the seventh year, so you won't have those crops, and then on the seventh year you won't be able to plant, so on the eighth year you won't have what to harvest at the beginning of the year. And then the whole eighth year, you're not going to, and then you'll have to wait till the end of the eighth year before those crops will come up. So it can stretch into part of the sixth year, the seventh year, and the eighth year. So what will we do? What will we eat? I will command my bracha on the land on the sixth year, in the early part of the sixth year, and will give forth enough crops for 3 years, so you'll have enough crops to hold you through until the new planting of the eighth year will be harvested. Uzratem esashona shminis, until you will plant in the eighth year, but all of that time v'achaltem min atfu yoshom, you will be eating from the old crops. Adashona tshis abo b'itfuasa techel yoshon, until the new crops start coming up at the end of the eighth year and in the ninth year. So this concisely is the mitzvah of what we call shvis. Or it's also, Shvis means the seventh year, or it's also referred to as Shemitah. The word Shemitah means that you have to skip that year. You have to leave it fallow. You cannot work that year. The Gaon Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the late Rosh Yeshiva of Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, he brings in his, the sichos that were printed over from him in Maimer Chof, Parshas Bechukesai, that he brings a medrash, Yalke Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Gimel, of which the Yalkut quotes a posuk in Tehillim, in Kapitel Kuf Gimel, just find it. Posukhov. It states, Baruch HaHashem Malochov Gibei Rekeach Eisid Vore. Blessed the Malochim who are gibore keach esid vorei, who are of such outstanding strength and fulfill his word. Lishmaya bekol vorei, they to listen to the word of Hashem. And the Medrash says as follows. Rabbi Yitzchok the Nafcha says, Elu Shem Lishvis, these angels which David HaMelech is referring to, Eisei Dvorei, Gibei Rekeach, who have such extreme keach, power and strength, who fulfill the word of Hashem. This refers to the Shem Rishvis, this refers to Yisrael that keeps the mitzvah of Shvis. B'neig Sheba Ilam, because it's customary, we can find Odom Eisem Mitzvah Le'im Echod, Shabbos Echod, L'Chedish Echod, that a person will do a mitzvah for one day, they'll do a mitzvah for a week, they'll do a mitzvah for a whole month. Shem Elachal Yemei Sashona, but the whole, every day of the year, the Dain Chamleitakle Bayora, these people, they see their field lie fallow, the fields lie fallow, Karmei Bayora, they see their vineyards lie fallow, an entire year, every day, 365 days, Vishosik, and they keep quiet about it. Yesh Lecho Gibor Chayel Godel Mizeh. Can there be someone who is so strong? This is the strength of the Malachim Hashem, Malachi Hashem, the angels of Hashem, who listen to and heed his commands. You ask someone to withhold doing something for a day, for a week, maybe a month, but here every day they go by their fields and they see their potential wealth, their potential sustenance is going to ruin. The field is lying fallow, they're not tilling the soil, they're not fertilizing the soil, they're not planting, they're not pruning, they're not harvesting. And it's hefke l'chol. Everyone comes onto their field. You try that with a farmer, he'll go after his gun. Everyone comes onto his field. His neighbors, his workers, the Gentiles, and all the animals, and the chayos asod, and even the wild animals. And he's not allowed to chase them off. And this goes on for a whole year. And still he's shosik, and still he's quiet, and he fulfills the word of Hashem. Ein ze elo gibore gibor chayo. These are the gibore keach. These are the angels of enormous strength, which is referred to in Tehillim. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, what do we learn from here? That to have bitochen, to have trust in Hashem for a short time, that's within human power. But to have trust in Hashem for a long drawn out period, like in this case, this is beyond human capability. This is a capability of the Malachi Hashem, Gibei Rekeach, the capability of the angels of Hashem. This is not within the capability of a human being. And this is the power which Yisrael has. And therefore, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcho says that this mitzvah, the fact that they are able to keep this mitzvah, Ein zeh elo gibere keach malachi Hashem, they are equal to the Malachi Hashem, to the angels of Hashem. He goes on further to cite another Gemara, where the Gemara brings this posuk, and this is in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph. This is a Gemara we've often quoted, but not in this context. The Gemara brings that at the time of the giving of the Torah on Shavuos, Klal Yisrael said, the Hashem told Moshe, go down to the people and ask them if they're prepared to accept my Torah. Hashem had gone, the Midrash says, to Yishmael. Do you want my Torah? And Yishmael answered, Maksiv Boch. You got to tell me first what's written in it, and then I'll be able to tell you if I'll accept the Torah or not. And when they learned what was written in it, they didn't want it. It says, you cannot steal, and other such things. They said, that's not for us. Then he went to Esav. And Esav said the same thing. Well, let me know what's written in it, and I'll answer you. It says, Letirsoch, you're not allowed to kill. And they said, no. Ishmael said, you're the Bakol. By us it states that our hands are by everyone else. By Esav it says, Al-Chabachotichya, I live by the sword. I can't accept it. When he came to Israel, so they did not ask Maksibach what is written. But they told Moshe, Nasev and Ishma, go tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that whatever he wants to command us, we accept. Later, he'll tell us what he wants to command us. But as far as his question, we give him an undertaking, we'll accept whatever he wants to tell us. Later on, he'll explain to us what he wants. So at that time, when they were higdimu nasalish nishma, that they said first, we will accept, and only later do you have to explain to us or tell us what you want us to accept. Yot Sabasko, voice from heaven came, Omar, Omron said, Mi gila levnei roz zeh, shemalachi ashoresh shemishtamshin bay. Who revealed this secret power to these Bnei Odom, to these people? A power which the malachim, which the angels utilize. As it's, where do we see that the angels utilize it? As it states, Baruch Hashem malachim giberi keach, Hashem should bless the angels of so much power, Eisei dvore lishmei bekol dvore, who are Eisei dvore, who go and fulfill his word, lishmei bekol dvore, and they listen to his, they listen and they ponder his word. First they do what he says, and only later on do they try to understand what he wants from them. In other words, we see that the power of Igdimu Nasal and Ishma, first they said they will do, and then you can tell us what you want us to do. This again is the great quality of Bitochen, where they relied on Hashem that whatever you will ask from us, we will do. And this is the power of the Malachim, of the angels. And this is not, he writes, this is not something that was given to the Gedei Le'Elam. Many times there's a certain mila, a certain level, which was given to Yechidim, the great individuals of every generation. Here we see, firstly, the whole nation said Nasel Lenishma, Igdimu Nasel Lenishma. The whole nation answered, what you want, we will accept. We don't care what you're going to demand of us. And the mitzvah Shvi'is is a mitzvah on everyone. And then further he brings from the Kli Yochor. Kli Yochor asks the question. It says, we quoted that perhaps you'll ask, what will we eat during the seventh year? It's not only the seventh year. What will we eat during the eighth year? Because the eighth year, there'll be no food from the seventh year, and we'll have to only start to plant in the beginning of the eighth year. So the answer was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers and says, that I will command my bracha in the land in the sixth year, and it will produce grain to the equivalent of 3 years. So the Kli Yochor asks a very good question. The sixth year comes before the seventh year. If the sixth year is going to produce a bounty which is to the equivalent of 3 years crops, so then why are they going to ask, what will we eat on the seventh year? See, they're coming and saying, how can we leave our fields fallow on the seventh year? We have nothing to eat. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in the sixth year, you will produce crops, which is the equivalent of 3 years.
So then there'll be no more question to ask in the seventh year. At the beginning of the seventh year, you still have plenty left to eat in the last 2 years. So what's the question? So the Kli Yoker says, and also the people can see. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, he'll give me enough crops for 3 years, so let's see. The sixth year, we'll see how much crops there are. And then we'll know if we can leave the seventh year fallow. So Kli Yoker says, no. He says, the sixth year will produce no more crops than the usual year. So now we have a good question. People can ask a question, so how can we leave the seventh year fallow? We won't have what to eat. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will give my brocha to those crops where even though it was the normal yield, it will hold you through for the whole sixth year, seventh year, and eighth year. Similar to what Rashi says just prior to that. In Pasuk Yud Ches, Rashi, the Torah said, we quoted, V'nos noretz pirya v'achaltem l'seiva, that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, the land will give forth its fruits, and you will eat with satisfaction. So Rashi brings, af b'sei hamein tehei b'brocho, that even though you'll eat a little, and there'll be so much brocho in this grain, that it'll give you satisfaction as if you ate a lot. So this means that the sixth year will not be apparent that there's more crops than usual. But of course, Baruch Hu said, trust me, from the sixth year you'll have enough to last you through all of these years until you can plant your fields again. So according to this, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, this is demanding even greater bitochon. That not only do we have to leave our fields fallow in the seventh year, but even after a normal yield in the sixth year, we still have to trust in Hashem that there'll be enough. Now, this, what we're referring to, is the what is known as bitochon, to place your trust in Hashem. And this is from the great principles of faith, from the great principles of Torah and Klal Yisrael. And there are a number of klolim, there's a number of rules, of principles within this principle, which I'd like to mention a few this evening, from the Maral Miprag, in which he discusses this in his Nesiva Bitochen, in Sefer Nesiva Salem. Firstly, a person has to place his full trust and faith in Hashem. But nevertheless, he has to do his part also. He cannot sit back and do nothing and say, everything will be done for me. Kodesh Baruch Hu will give me whatever I need. All my necessities, all my requirements will be taken care of by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I have trust in Him. If that would happen, then it would be an enormous miracle. For example, let's say a person for 7 years decided to leave his field fallow. Say, and if still he would have enough to eat, that would be an enormous miracle. We have a klal, ein semchin al hanes. We are not allowed to rely on miracles. Miracles can happen and miracles do happen, but we are not allowed to rely on them. So therefore, we have to do whatever we can, and we have to use our wisdom to the best of our ability. Actually, the statement that the Maral makes is Shetzorech Laseis Kol Maisov B'Chochma. Person has to direct all of his actions with great wisdom. He ain't saying he's not a lace. And he cannot say, look, I'll do or not do. I'm not Kodesh Bo, I have trust in Hashem. Because one cannot rely on the miracle. But once we do everything with great wisdom, Shlema HaMelech said in Mishle, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Hei, he said, "B'tachel Hashem b'chol libecho, v'al binoscha al tishoi." Place your faith in Hashem with your entire heart, and do not rely on your abilities, on your wisdom, on your talents. That means one must use his abilities, his wisdom, his skills to the utmost. But when he does, he must not rely on them. But he must have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be mispalel on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give success to my deeds and bring it lepayel, bring it to its full manifestation, to its full development. Where he must realize to do nothing that he cannot. To do his utmost he must, but that is not what's going to produce. That is not is what's going to bring him success. Many, many farmers who use their greatest abilities and their most modern equipment, and they plant, and it's a bad year. Albinoscha al tisha'ein. After one does his utmost, but do not rely on that. But b'tachel Hashem b'chol libecho, place your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your entire heart, that he may give success, brocha lemaisi yodeinu, to our deeds. This principle is also elucidated in the Targum. The Targum in Parshas Ekev. Parshas Ekev, Perches, Posuk Yudches. There the Torah, Moshe is rebuking the people. He says, when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you'll have wonderful bracha and you'll become wealthy. You'll become wealthy and you'll become strong and you'll have beautiful homes and beautiful farms and beautiful vineyards and great wealth. We are mar to build of vecho kechi ve'etzim yodi osli yasachay lazer. And this can bring arrogance to a person. He will say, "It is my strength, my deeds, my ability and wisdom that developed this land, that brought so much wealth here." V'zocharto es Hashem elokecho ki hu hamesin lecho keach las Yisrael. Says you should remember, you could be the most talented person in the world, the wisest person in the world, but without HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's worthless, because he is the one who gave you this strength to amass all of this wealth. And the Targum explains, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you strength to amass the wealth? The Targum says, "V'sitka yos Hashem elakoch, arei hu yoiv loch eitzo lemiknei nichzin medil lekayomo yos." Kayomo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who placed in your mind the right wisdom and the right ideas, when to buy and when not to buy, when to buy and when to sell. So this means that we have to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have to be mispired for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should give success to our deeds, and he should teach us what to do and when to do it and how to do it. If you're a businessman, he should teach you when to invest and when to buy and when to unload, when to sell. And not albinos chal tisho'in, not feel that it's our wisdom that is osas kol hachayel lazer, that is bringing all of this wealth to us. So that's one principle. A second principle, when someone has great trust in Hashem, this signifies shleimus odom. This signifies strength of a person, inner strength. That first of all he is strong, and secondly he's close to Hashem. Because the actual trust and faith brings a person closer to Hashem. To the contrary, when someone is a mafachid is a person who's constantly afraid, always afraid, always apprehensive, always worrying. This is a mafachid. When someone who is constantly a mafachid, this signifies that he's not a sholem. This signifies the lack of inner strength. In Yiddish, it's called a sebrochana. This signifies a broken person, heaven forbid. And that he's far from Hashem. Because if someone is close to Hashem, then he's not going to constantly worry and have apprehension. These two points, that trust and faith shows that he is a person of inner strength and that he's close to Hashem, and the contrary, where he is constantly worrying and apprehensive, this shows that he's far from Hashem and that he's a broken person. Now, this is not only an illustration. It's not just an illustration to illustrate where the person is holding or what kind of person he is. But the Maral says it's more than illustration. It becomes an actual gerem. It can become a cause. Someone who has faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this can cause him to withstand and ward off troubles, because he becomes a strong individual. The trust in Hashem strengthens him. It steals him. And that itself will be a deterrent to Ra, to problems confronting him. And to the contrary, a person who constantly is in anguish, constantly worried, that weakens the person. Anocha shever chatzi aguf, the Gemara says. Daiga, worry, breaks half the body. That weakens him to the point where he does not have the strength to ward off problems. And he brings, heaven forbid, yisurim. He brings affliction upon himself. So this is not only an illustration of what's taking place but it also becomes a cause. And this is what Shlema HaMelech means when he writes in Mishlei Choftes Posuk Chofei, Herdas Odom Yitein Mekesh. The person who is constantly in Haredo, a person who's constantly in terror, worrying, Yitein Mekesh, that itself will become the obstacle to himself. The person who has trust in Hashem, that itself will elevate him. And with this, explains the Gemara. The Gemara Masech the Brochas, very interesting. Gemara Masech the Brochas Dav Samach. The Gemara says, Ahu Talmide Dav Akozel Basreid Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yesi B'shuk HaDetzion. There was a Talmud, a disciple, Yeshiva Bocher. He was walking behind Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yesi in the Shuk of Yerushalayim, in the marketplace. Chazio de Komafchid. He saw that he was a Mafachid. He saw that he was a great warrior and afraid. Omalei. So he said to him, Chato at, you're a sinner. The fact that you go around worrying so much, that's a sign that you're a hater. You're a sinner. What did he mean? It's a sign that you're standing far from Hashem. Because if you were standing close to Hashem, you wouldn't go around worrying so much. He answered him, "Voksiv Asheri Adam Afachi Tomi." I, Shlema HaMelech, wrote Mishlei Chofkes. How fortunate is a person who's always mafachid, who's always worrying. He said, "Omalei Ahu B'Divrei Tereksiv." That's in regards to his learning. Rashi says, "What does this mean?" Shema Tishtakach Mimenu. When it comes to Torah, a person has to constantly worry that he's going to forget his Torah. And this causes him to constantly chazer, constantly revise and learn over and over. We'll explain more about that in a minute. So he said, the fact that you go around constantly worrying all of the time, it's a sign that you're chato, that you're a hater, that you're standing far away from Hashem. Like we explained. Because if someone has bitochen in Hashem, this means he relies on Hashem. He has faith in Hashem. This brings a bond between him and Hashem. If someone is a mafachid, this means he's far from Hashem. This comes from hate. Then the Gemara brings a second case. Yehuda bar Noson have a shokel v'ozel basrei d'Rav Amnuna. Yehuda, the son of Noson, was walking behind Rav Amnuna. Esnach. He heard him give a big sigh. So he heard him, this Yehuda, he heard him give a big sigh, a sigh of anguish. Omalei, so he said to him, Yesurim boya hu gavra lasuya nafshe. He says, one who acts that way is inviting Yesurim on himself, is inviting trouble on himself, affliction. And he quoted a pasuk on it. So he said the same thing. It says, Ashrei Adam Afachid Tomid. And how fortunate is he who's always worrying? Now, who be David Hereksi? That's only by Torah. Now, he didn't say he was chator. He was a chater. He said, you're inviting problems on yourself. The Manal says he brought out 2 points. From the fact that someone lacks faith, it shows 2 things. That he's standing far away from Hashem, and that he lacks the inner strength that faith gives one. The fact that he's standing far away from Hashem, that's a sign he's a chayter. It must be sin that has removed him, that has distanced him from Hashem. The fact that he lacks inner strength, because someone who has no one to rely on, this creates a weakness in a person. This creates a brokenness in a person. That itself will invite additional troubles and problems to the person. Because if a person has an inner strength, then that will ward off the problems. When he's broken, then this even invites more problems. So that's why the first one mentioned chataat, you're a sinner. The second one mentioned you're inviting Yisurin. A person like this is inviting Yisurin to come to himself, affliction to come to himself. Why, if this is the case, then why is this permitted by Divrei Torah? So that the Maral says, because the Gemara brings in Chagiga. The Gemara says on Divrei Torah, and Chagiga Tesvav Aleph, Le'yarcheno Kesef Bizov Vishuchis V'chol Klipos. Torah is greater value than silver, gold, and glass, and all precious stones. So the Gemara asks, we can understand why gold and silver, why glass? Divrei Torah, elu divrei Torah shekoshim liknais kizov v'nechim lishtabek kiklizuch kuchis. Torah is as precious as the value of gold, but it's as easy to break, easy to lose, as klishchuchis, as glass. Torah is very far from a person, because it's coming from another world. Like we mentioned in last week's shir, it was created over 900 generations before the world was created. It's not from this world. It's the madrega shminis. It's beyond this world. The Maral says a person is always a broken keli, a broken vessel when it comes in regards to Divrei Torah. Even when he has Torah, he has to hold on to it for dear life, otherwise it'll go away from him, because it's so far above him. It could be like with the Gro, what is said in the name of the Gro. The Gro says, those who learn a false derech, those who learn falsely, they're more interested in his time. In those days there was a very popular derech which was known as the derech hapilpul, where they went through a lot of mental gymnastics and acrobatics in Gemara to put things together and so forth and so on. The Gro was very much against it. So he says those who learn like that feel that the more they're learning, the greater they're becoming in Torah, because their sharpness, what they produce, is always more and more. He says those who learn derech emes, the true way in Torah, he says the greater you learn, the more you learn, the smaller you feel in Torah, because then you see the great wisdom of the Torah. And you see the great wisdom after you learn 100 times something or 1,000 times something, you learn the derech emes, then you see the great wisdom of the Tanoim, of the Amoraim. Say, he says about Rashi, you can learn a lifetime, and later on you can realize Now I understand what Rashi meant with these two extra words. See? That what took me 40, 50 years to understand, this is what Rashi wrote in these two words. So the more you learn, the smaller you feel in Torah, because you see the magnificence of it. So therefore a person always is like a clean shover, like a broken keli, a broken vessel when it comes to Torah. So there he always has to worry. And like Rashi says, but it must have a positive result, not worrying for no results whatsoever. A worry that we take kach, his chesed tomid. A worry that will mobilize him to constantly review and review. That's why they always talk on the early giants. They were constantly going over and over. Always. Because they understood this. But when it comes in other areas, there a person has to worry where it's proper to worry. You can't be foolhardy, but not ibadamos, not more than one should. There he has to place his trust in Hashem, and one, this will strengthen him and steel him. He has who to lean on, and this itself will ward off problems, and two, this will bring him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another principle. The Gemara tells us that from the main principles of Bitochen is not necessarily to think that whatever I rely on Hashem, he's going to do for me. I might want him to do one thing for me and he's got different ideas. It's not to think that if you trust in Hashem, he will do what you want. Not so. But is to place your trust in Hashem, that whatever comes your way from heaven is for your good. It's from Hashem and it's for your good. For your ultimate good. Even though many times we might not recognize it at all as our ultimate good. The fact is, it's Maisim B'chol Yom. Every day we're confronted with things that seemingly do not go our way, and we're very upset with it. See? Only to find that it was letav of it. It was for our good. A simple example is you take pain. If you have a pain, nobody likes pain. Yet it's one of the greatest brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the human being. Because pain means, if for example, if you have a let's say that you injured a foot, you fractured something. Say, let's say it's a hairline fracture, and you hardly realize it, and your foot, your body's mobilizing millions of cells, say, all their resources to knit this bone back together. And meanwhile, you're constantly abusing it, and you're getting in the way of their work. And you're putting your foot in a position where they can't do it. So they send you a message. They say, "What are you doing? We're trying to knit the bone back together and you're working against us." What's the message? That when you put your foot in a particular position, they shoot an arrow of pain through the body. And you say, "Ouch," and then you leave the foot alone. If there wouldn't be pain, they could never knit the bone back together. So even though things to us might seem terrible, the lebrocha, see, it all comes for a blessing. Now the Gemara brings, now this is referring to what comes to you that you didn't do to yourself. If if a person does something to himself with foolishness, with lack of wisdom, he takes his car and he drives it down the road at 180 kilometers an hour, and heaven forbid, drives it off the road, he can't say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant for the best. See, we're talking about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does and not what you do. Now the Gemara brings this, in also Masechta Brachos. Brings the story of Rabbi Kiva. Masechta Brachos, Daf Samach Amud Beis, Seif Amud Beis. Gemara brings Amarav, Huna Amarav, Mishum Rameya, Vechein Tana, Mishmei der Bekiva. Leilem ye odom roga leima, called oga rachbona letavavid. A person should get into the habit of saying that whenever something happens to him which is beyond his control, he didn't do it, but it's just circumstances beyond his control that happened to him, letavavid, he must say, it's also for the good, for the good. The Gemara later on brings, there was a man by the name of Nochem, and they called him Nochem Gamzu. Why? Because on everything he used to say, Gamzu Lateva, this is also for the good. He ordered Rabbi Kiva, so brings a case. I have a causal beurcha. Rabbi Kiva was going on a trip. Motalahu Masa, he came into a city at night, a town, Yushpisa, and he wanted to find lodging. Layavile, all the hotels were filled. See. Now, generally, we come in towards evening and into a city, and all the hotels are full. So we curse our luck. No, Rabbi Kiva said, "Oma, call the Ovid Rachmana Latav Ovid." This is for the good. Also, Lobas Bedabro, he had no alternative except to go and sleep in the field. Vava Bahadei, he had with him a Tanagula, a rooster, a Chamra, a donkey, Vishargo, and a light. He was traveling with a light to give him light. He was traveling with a donkey because the donkey he rode on. Why was he traveling with a rooster? So Rashi says, Lakitze Mishnose, to wake him up in the morning. I guess before alarm clocks you had to take a rooster with you. Alright? Also Zeko, during the night a wind came and Kabi Lashargo and blew out his lamp. Also Shunra, a cat came and Achle Letanagula, made up the rooster. Also Aryeh, a lion came and ate the chamra and ate the donkey. He was left with nothing. Omar, and he said, called over, he says, he didn't do these things, the wind he didn't bring, and he's not sleeping in the field because by choice. And the Aryeh, the lion, and the cat, he says, so this is all from heaven. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, it's for the ultimate good. He didn't know it, but Balailo, that night, Osa Gaiso, an alien, a foreign army, enemy army, came through the city, Shavye Lamaso, and it plundered the city and took away the people as slaves. In the morning, when he saw what had happened, Omalohu, so he said, evidently he was with a servant, he said to him, Amri lehu, didn't I tell you, kol ma sheis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hakol l'teiva? Didn't I say whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is hakol l'teiva? Because had I slept in the hotel, then I would have been one of the shvuyim, one of the captives. They could have killed him. Had my donkey been up, he would have brayed, and they would have heard, and they would have come to the field. Or the rooster would have crowed, or they would have seen the lamp. So we see that HaKol L'Teiva, that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, we must accept it, that if it's from him, it has to be for the good. But even if we do not see it's for the good now, it's for the ultimate good. The Maral adds to this, that he says, actually, when the Rebbe Kiva came to that city, and we see evidently there was a decree of destruction in that city. That's what happened the next morning, during the course of the night. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Rabbi Akiva to be in that decree. So first he moved him to the side of the city. But secondly, he said he couldn't not take him out of that decree because he was still part of that Yishuv. So what he did is he took a temura. He took an exchange from Rabbi Akiva. He says the light, a ner, the Gemara always brings in many places that refers to the seichel or refers to the wisdom, the Torah. So that's the seichel of the person. A donkey, chamor, always refers to the gufa odom. This is why he's called chamor from the word chamer. He's the most physical of all of the animals. It refers to the physical body. A tanagol, he says. This is very, for whatever reason it might be, is very similar to the person himself. We know that a rooster is called a gever. Sechvi is a gever. He's called a gever from the word gavro. See? A person. So that represents the nefesh of the person. See, the specific light, life of, that was given to man. And since he was in this, there was a decree on the whole city, and they were destroyed. So there was a decree that heaven forbid he should also be destroyed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulated Zeh Temura Zeh. That had he been destroyed, he would have been destroyed in totality. Instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the donkey from him, and he took the rooster from him, and he took the light from him. One final principle. Now we said that when a person relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first of all, this gives him inner strength, and that itself wards off more yisurim. Secondly, this is a sign that he's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a step further, and that is when a person has full trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only does this illustrate that he's close to Hashem and he has strength, but this itself can cause him brocha. When he has reliance in Hashem and he's mispala to Hashem that he should give his deeds brocha, this itself can create a brocha. While when a person does not place his trust in Hashem, this itself can create the lack of bracha. Why? Because someone who has faith, this is a link. One person has faith in another, this is a link between them. When someone places his full faith in Hashem, this is a link, this is a bond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he comes very close to Hashem. And when you come close to Hashem, you are coming close to the source of unlimited bracha and unlimited goodness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only the source of goodness, but what is known as the Teva HaGomor, of goodness in its unlimited fullness. He has no gvulim, he has no limitations. And therefore, if a person does not rely on Hashem, he wants to more rely on himself. Like we mentioned, he's far from Hashem. Therefore, he's going to be far from Baruch. And that itself can create lack of Baruch. But if he trusts Hashem totally, places his reliance in him, this brings him close to Hashem. and it's bringing him close to the source of brocha and goodness, where this trust itself can produce results, can produce brocha and goodness for him. And this is what is meant by these psukim. It states, Bitchu b'Hashem adi ad, it's a posuk we see every day, Bitchu b'Hashem adi ad ki b'ko Hashem tzur elomim. Place your trust in Hashem forever and ever, with unlimited, without limitations. Why? Because Hashem has created with the letters of His name, the Yud and the Hey, He has created both worlds, this world and the next world. And Maral explains, what does this mean? If you place your trust in Hashem Adi Ad without limitations, you are coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only in this world, He's in the next world too. So you're coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in both worlds, in the next world also. The next world is the world of unlimited brocha and unlimited goodness. It's a world without any limitations. And that's what you can bring into your deeds in this world. Bitchu b'Hashem adi ad. Place your trust in Hashem without limitations. And then you will come close to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any limitations, which is in the next world. And being so close, that brocha that can produce, that brocha in this world. And that's also what is meant by the posuk. This is in Tehillim Lamed Beis, Habeteach b'Hashem Chesed Yisevevenu. Someone who trusts in Hashem, Chesed will surround him. It states that the Chesed of Hashem, in general, Chesed is a quality which is unlimited, because rachamim, if you have compassion, there's limitations. Who do you have compassion on? You have compassion on someone who needs compassion. Someone is sick, someone is injured. See? So there are limitations to it. Deen, justice, is also limited. Who do you do justice for? For the just. Justice means that you give the money to the one who justice belongs to. You don't give it to the other one. So justice also has its limitations. But chesed, the Gemara says, is without limitations. It says chesed is l'chaim u'lemeisim, l'anim u'lashirim. It's both for the living and the dead. It's for the poor and for the wealthy. Chesed has no limitations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed is certainly without limitations. There are no bounds whatsoever. Habiteach b'Hashem, the reason why we have problems is because of limitations. Problems are known as meitzar, min ha-meitzar karosiko. Meitzar is from the narrows, from the straits. When we ask for a brocha, we ask b'havachnu, that revach, remove the limitations. Avichenu, the Abiteach b'Hashem. If someone puts his full trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, he does what he can do. He does what he's supposed to do. But he doesn't rely on that. And then he says, now it's up to Hashem. Totally, it's up to Hashem. And he places his full trust in Hashem. And he says, and whatever Hashem will do, if it comes from Hashem, it'll be good. As long as I do what I'm supposed to. Then Chesed Yisevevenu. He is coming close to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu of this world and of the next world, where there is unlimited chesed. Chesed without any limitations. And that's what he can bring down into this world, into his deeds. So, further, not only does it give him inner strength, and not only does it show that he's close to Hashem, but it can tap the resources of the unlimited brochas of the Teva and Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and produce, see, brocha in this world. These are some principles when it comes to the midah of bitochen, and like we brought from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz from the Medrash, that the mitzvah of Shemitah demanded from Klal Yisrael a level of bitochen that was beyond human capability. But it was a level that they had, every Jew had, every Jew has, which is like the Gibere Keach of the Malachi Hashem, the strength of the angels of Hashem.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.